In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On July 3rd, 1907, Pope Pius X sounded the trumpet to announce that the Holy City of God, the Catholic Church, had been invaded by enemies. With the decree, lamentably, the Pope denounced a new heresy that was spreading. And the name of this heresy was modernism. A heresy whose goal was to adapt religion to the modern times, to adapt dogma, to adapt morality, to adapt the liturgy to the new standards of modern society. But the Pope didn't think that sounding the trumpet only one time would be enough. And so he sounded it a second time. In September of the same year, 1907, Pius X published an encyclical letter called Pascendi Dominici Gregis, where he exposed in detail the teachings of the modernists, renewing all his condemnations against this heresy. But in spite of these two great documents, modernism continued to spread. And so the Pope was obliged to sound the trumpet a third time, but now more forcefully. In the month of November of the same year, the Pope published a document called Prestantia Scripturae, by which he added the penalty of automatic excommunication against anybody who would defend any one of the propositions, opinions, or teachings condemned in the two documents that we mentioned, Pascendi and Lamentabili. Automatic excommunication for anyone who would hold the heretical views of the modernists. In 1910, the same saintly Pope ordered every member of the clergy to make an oath against modernism. And this oath was obligatory until 1967, when it was abolished by Paul VI. Don't worry, the clergy here made this oath. So when we see how Pope Pius X dealt with modernism, one may wonder, why was he so severe? Why is modernism so dangerous? So, my brethren, it's time for us to take a quick look at what modernism is and how it can be harmful to the faith. First of all, we have to start with its philosophy. The philosophy, the mentality behind modernism is called agnosticism. And it teaches that man's reason is only capable to know the phenomena, that is to say, things that are perceptible to the senses. That's the only thing that man's reason can know. Things perceptible to the senses. In other words, man cannot know with certainty anything that is spiritual. So based on this philosophy, the modernists took religion away from the domain of truth and placed it in the domain of the sentiment. So what really matters in religion for them is not what we believe. If we believe or not in the truths revealed by God, they don't care about that. But what matters for them is the simple fact that one believes in something. In this context, faith becomes a word with a very vague signification. It means whatever one may choose to believe. And here there can be no right or wrong, because faith in the modernist understanding is simply the effort of the human mind trying to grasp the divine. And so it can only be normal that in different places, in different times, we find different expressions of faith. And by consequence, we have different religions. Because different people have different experiences of the sacred. In this way, the plurality of religion for a modernist is somehow a necessity. So under these premises, the mandate of Christ to convert all nations to the truth of the gospel becomes kind of problematic. If every religion is legitimate, why would we try to convert others? Good question. For a modernist, we don't need to convert anyone. We just need to establish a good dialogue in which we can learn from each other's experiences. The time of missions is gone. So if it is the case, if religion is conditioned to human experience and should adapt itself to space and time, the conclusion is that the truths we believe are not immutable. For the modernist, everything can change. Things that we held as false yesterday can become true today. Things we held as sinful in the past can suddenly be permitted. And no one should be shocked with this. They will say, why? Because you understand that with time, the church comes to understand things better. So it's normal that the teaching changes. So to cling to the dogmas of the faith, to hold on to the dogmas of the faith as something that cannot change, becomes a kind of sin. Because We would be closing ourselves to the movement of the Spirit that always guides the church onwards. Onwards. For the modernists, Christ is just a man, and his miracles are simply an exaggeration of his disciples. The sacraments are only symbols. The Holy Scripture is just a human book. It's just a human book. And we cannot really know if what is written there is true or not. So I hope, my brethren, that you can see the great problem, the great problems with modernism. Because it strips our religion of anything that is supernatural. And it tries to reshape our faith according to the values of today. In such a way that if adultery became a common thing, the modernist will ask, why should then second unions not be permitted by the church? If unions against nature are not a scandal anymore, so the modernist will ask, why would it be still considered a sin? So you see, one comes to put the gospel itself into question because of the decadent values of modern society. This is the modernist way of thinking, trying to change the faith to meet the standards of men. But religion is in fact the opposite of this. The true religion tries to change men in order to meet the standards of the faith. So on this Sunday, when we hear the warning of Christ against the false prophets, I bring you these words, sounding my little trumpet, in order to warn you against the heretics of our days. Because, my brethren, the modernists are not gone, but they are more alive than ever. St. Pius X considered modernism to be very dangerous for two main reasons. The first one is that modernism is the synthesis of all heresies, because it contains all heresies in itself. But the second reason why modernism is so dangerous is because it is a domestic enemy. All the other heresies are professed by heretics who are clearly outside of the church. If a Protestant comes to you to preach his teachings, well, I suppose you can easily know that what he is saying is heresy, poison. However, with the modernists, it's not so clear. Because the modernists are, at least to our eyes, inside the church. So it becomes much more difficult to separate error from truth when error is preached by disguised heretics by false prophets, by wolves, in sheep's clothing. And my brethren, we have so many of them, so many of them among the clergy today. So I ask you to be attentive. Your faith is important, is essential for your salvation. So take good care of it. And if anyone, I mean anyone, would preach to you a gospel that is different from the gospel of Jesus Christ, if anyone would try to teach you anything that is against of what the church has always taught, let him be anathema. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth cannot change, or faith cannot change, morality cannot change. Sorry, what was true yesterday remains true today, and we will always be. The modernists can try to destroy the faith. They can try, but they will pass. The church herself will remain. We don't know how the church will be delivered from these enemies. We don't know, but God knows. So we pray and hope that it will happen soon. Now pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. Don't despair. If you see heretics everywhere, don't despair. Just make sure you are not one of them. Don't despair if you see immoral people everywhere. Just make sure you are not one of them. Don't despair if you see people committing liturgical abuses everywhere. Don't despair. Just make sure you are not one of them. Let us stick to the true faith, to the morals of the gospel, and to the traditional liturgy of the church. And if we do so, my brethren, we will survive this storm. So don't be afraid of what can come. We will fight together. We may have to suffer, yes, but we can be certain of the victory. Truth will always triumph over error. Goodness will always triumph over evil. And beauty will always triumph over ugliness. So don't be afraid of what can come, because God is on our side. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.